Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mac Attack Show. I'm your host, Reverend J. Mac. I have my lovely wife here with me, Faye Mac, and we are delighted and excited on this episode, this very special episode about marriage and what it means to be a helpmeet. We're blessed today to have the Curtis family. Give it up for Kennard and Courtney Curtis.
Hello.
Hey, everyone.
We're so grateful that you are here with us. Hey, everybody. We hear the whole family in the background. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing to hear. And you all are an amazing couple with an amazing story. And if you all felt comfortable sharing, we could start off with that. If you wanted to share, I guess, a brief synopsis of how you two came to be the Curtis family.
Okay, so... Wow, we met on social media through a friend. It was in 2010, I believe, around January, we started dating. This is when BlackBerry Messenger was out and popular. And so I think I just got the phone and we had a mutual friend and she had sent out Courtney's BBM pin. And so I said, well, I'll just add it, you know, young at the time. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, add as many girls as I can. So I added the name Courtney and she accepted it. And so I seen her profile picture. So I quickly messaged our friend. I said, hey, who is this? I don't know this young lady. You know, she's like, oh, that's my friend, such and such, you know. So I said, you know, tell me a little bit about her. And she did, you know, the terminology back then, you want me to put you down or you wanna talk to her. And so I said, yeah. And so I immediately started messaging Courtney. She was giving me the one word answers, you know, not showing any interest, but I stayed consistent. And 12 years later, we're still here and been married for 6 years. And that's pretty much how it started in 2010, January.
Awesome, awesome. Anything you want to add, Courtney?
No, he actually told that story very well.
Amen. Those BlackBerry Messenger groups was something else, I guess, back in the day.
They were.
Thank God for it. And Kennard, you are a leader in so many ways with youth groups and helping young men become men. And Courtney, you have been very influential in young ladies' lives. In fact, I remember you led, correct me if I'm wrong, it was a class or a group called Worth the Wait. Mm-hmm. And you helped young ladies prepare for marriage in a godly way. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, it was a group called Worth the Wait Revolution. It was started by Dr. Lindsay Warren, and she still has groups out there. But we were really, really, you know, meeting a lot for probably about 3 years. And we would meet in just different places and talk about what it meant to save yourself for marriage. And we just wanted to make it, you know, a popular thing again. Or something that could be popular. I'm not going to say again, but something that could be popular. And just live for Christ. So yeah, it was an enjoyable experience. And that's something I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of my husband and I being able to be on that journey together toward being celibate.
Amen. Awesome testimony. And now you're still together. Amen. Certainly. Thank God for that. And my wife is also passionate about godly courting. In fact, she has a book, Precepts of a Godly Courtship. And I just wanted to give my wife an opportunity to say anything as we lead into the first question. Did you have anything you wanted to say? All right.
Hello, everyone.
Awesome. So I'll ask my wife to ask the first question as we're getting into our interview part of the podcast. Go ahead.
Okay, so the question is, what is biblical marriage? And so You know, that is a very loaded question. And of course, it depends on who you ask. But I would say that biblical marriage is a marriage that honors Christ and reflects Christ. As we are image bearers of Christ, we are called to love one another as Christ loves the church. And so with that said, biblical marriage is sacrificial. It is, it's unselfish. And so I think it's very important that, you know, you just focus on one another. If you put the other person's needs ahead of your own and they do the same, then everyone's needs will be met. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you just have to keep Christ in the center. One thing that I'm very proud of, when we got married and we exchanged vows, we not only exchanged vows to one another, but we also said vows to Jesus. We included Christ in our vow. So that was very important to us to make sure that Jesus showed up not only, you know, in the vows, but just alongside the marriage itself.
Amen. And to the Curtis family, what is your idea of biblical marriage?
Wow. I mean, what Phaedra said was exactly what we kind of discussed earlier. But basically, we just said, you know, putting God first and allowing for him to guide you in everything that you do as a married couple. And I think that I really like the fact that you all did your vows like that. If more people did their vows to their future spouse and then to Jesus, it would make it, you know, a lot more, maybe in other people's minds, it would make it a lot more, set in stone, I guess you would say. And it would be harder to break those promises because a lot of people get married and they don't take those vows very seriously. And maybe if they would take that extra vow to Jesus, maybe they would take it a little bit more seriously.
Very good. Great insight, both of you all. So as my wife said, what is biblical marriage is such a loaded question. And there are certain terms that you often hear when you talk about marriage, like being equally yoked and the head of the house. But today I wanted to talk about this term, help me. We often hear that thrown around. What is your perspective on what it means to be a help me?
Well, from what I see it is that you exactly what the word is saying, you know, you help each other to be better. You help each other in the everyday actions of life, you know. You help each other as parents, as, you know, the individuals. We both have individual goals, so we help each other with those things. And we have goals that are together. And we help each other get to those, meet those goals as well. So it encompasses all of that. And I think Kennard.
Yeah, I mean, so what my wife said was, you know, that's exactly what it is. You know, we complement each other. The importance of being each other's backbone, a crutch to lean on when times get rough. You know, just being dependable and, you know, loving and caring, you know, it's important. It's so easy to shy away from some of those things because you get caught up in, you know, your everyday life of being busy, being a parent, taking care of things on the job, within your business, whatever work field you in, your employees, your clients, you know, you get beside yourself of being that help me to your spouse.
Hey, man, I love your responses. I think it's so important that, your spouse is your biggest fan, biggest supporter, and they're in the good times as well as the struggles, as you both mentioned. So many marriages are almost like two individuals, but really the Bible is clear that two are to become one. And so I love the fact that you two have that perspective. And I hope if there's any engaged couples or anybody that's dating or courting listening, when you get married, you two become one. You should support one another, help one another, and you grow together. So I love that. And you already gave some examples of how you two support one another, good times, on careers and things of that nature. Wanted to ask you, because a lot of times people have different perspectives, different work ethics, different standards. How beneficial is it to see things eye to eye or to be on the same page? And I guess if I could clarify the question, sometimes one person is like a go-getter, they're working 24/7, and another person may be a little bit more relaxed. Do you feel like you two need to be like exactly the same? You think in marriage, people's personalities have to be the same? Their views on faith, parenting, everything has to be exactly the same? Or is there room for some difference which may actually complement one another?
Yeah, so for us, I think you're right. Our personalities are different. Courtney is more of an introvert. I'm more of an extrovert. And so we help balance each other. However, our work ethic is pretty much similar. We both like to get it done. We both like to stay busy. We both like to help each other. So for us, you know, I would say, you know, being the opposite kind of helps. You know, it definitely helps us because it brings balance into the home. No one is more so this way or more so that way. You know, it allows us to see each other in the middle as best as we can. Anything you want to add, Court?
I mean, I think that, you know, it's important to have at least the same beliefs and faith. I do think that is something very important. I think it might be very hard. I've never, you know, been in any type of relationship where it's somebody has had a different belief, but I can imagine that could be really hard, trying to be on one page with that. And as for the work ethic and the personality, the work ethic, you know, that could be different, you know. Personality is different as well, because I think that, you know, you can complement each other. If God has that right person for you, you are going to complement each other. And you're going to meet halfway in most of the things that you do. So, Kennard was, you know, kind of giving some examples of us, but, you know, for us, it's like, you know, we are not the traditional couple. We're not like, you know, the man has to be the person to go out the house and, you know, make all this money while the woman stays in the house and is the stay-at-home mom or the, you know, has to cook and, you know, clean and all of this stuff. We do everything like pretty much, I guess, I don't even want to say 50-50. Like, we're both like 100% in, because it's like, you know, Kennard is like, he'll come home and if he sees dishes in the sink, he'll wash them. Like, you know, if, you know, I need to go out and show houses all day Saturday, and he's going to stay home with the kids, well, that's what we're going to do. And vice versa, if he needs to work, you know, I'll come home and clean and wash. You know, we both do everything. So, you know, what is it called? Where something is labeled, like, I guess that's what I can call it. But yeah, yes. Thank you. It's no, in our marriage, is no gender roles. And I honestly think that that's the best way to go. Like, our mindsets are like, just get it done, you know?
Yes. so for us, for us, I don't know. It's kind of a little bit of this, a little bit of that, because I think it's really weird because as I've gotten older, I've become more traditional. And so, but that's also a lot of who we are as individuals is predicated on our background. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, depending on what your experiences were growing up, depending on what examples you saw growing up, depending on what experiences you had that maybe you don't want to repeat growing up, can color, you know, what your perspectives are. And for me, you know, I believe that we definitely share in responsibilities. We both work, we both take care of the kids, we both do things around the house. But I do feel like if one person kind of has a clear understanding of what their role is, it can help things move easier. Just like if you have two pilots, you know, and this one wants to go left and this one wants to go right, versus you have a pilot and then you have a co-pilot, and the co-pilot is assisting the pilot. So my thoughts are, it's like, it's not to say that I won't work, but your responsibility as a man is to work. And then, hey, I can work definitely, you know, and pick up the slack. My responsibility is to work around the house, but that doesn't mean that you can't change a diaper or two, you know? So I think that, but again, it all depends on the couple and you know, that kind of goes back to personality, you know, what one person likes and what another person likes, mm-hmm. and make sure that you're equally yoked and you guys have the same mm-hmm. views and perspectives. Ultimately, at the end of the day, as long as number one, Christ is being glorified, and number two, your children are being taken care of, then I think everything else is just a matter of, you know, perspective and opinion.
Yeah.
Whatever works for your mm-hmm. for your house.
Yeah, I think marriage is extremely contextual. I mean, of course, there are some non-negotiables as far as honesty, fidelity, but as far as roles and responsibilities, I really believe there's no one way to be married. The couple just has to be on the same page. And if mm-hmm. a couple agrees and can be on the same page, I think everything will work out just fine. Mm-hmm. And if there are any changes, communicate and agree upon those changes. A person can't just up and decide one day, you know what, I don't feel like doing this anymore. Because then the spouse is going to be like, well, wait a minute. an example would be like, I remember talking to a couple where the guy was like, you know what, I don't feel like taking out the trash anymore. And the bride was like, well, I've never taken out the trash. Although it's something small, the lack of communication and decision making without communication led to some challenges. So my encouragement to the couple out there, just be on the same page. Love mm-hmm. your spouse enough to trust them and talk to them about whatever God has put on your heart. And everything will work out just fine. And fellas, there's nothing wrong with washing the dishes, nothing wrong with cooking. It's nothing wrong with changing diapers. It's nothing wrong with cleaning the bathtub or whatever some people or some traditionalists may not do. Many men out there are sharing the roles and responsibilities. Likewise, many women are sharing the roles and responsibilities. I think it's awesome. And the Curtises are a great example of making it work. And so kudos to y'all.
Thanks. Kudos to you guys too. I think now, we both got the same number amount of kids, so
yeah, we're both, yeah.
We understand.
Yeah, once you get to multiples and especially three, yeah, things get a little. You got to be as efficient as possible. And
yes.
I think you need all hands on deck with everything. So.
Yeah, now you're outnumbered.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yep. But I want to shift the conversation just a little bit, and you all have been awesome. I want to talk about purpose. One of the challenges some people have in marriage is while trying to find their own purpose, they begin to focus more on the family and they feel like they get lost or their purpose gets lost. How do you, or what role would you say does individual purpose play in a marriage? Pursuing your purpose, pursuing your dreams, and even being a helpmeet. How do you support your spouse pursuing the purpose that God has given them?
Well, I can speak on that. I am a firm believer of when God allows for two people to be together, or he puts them together and they're meant for each other. The purpose is going to fall in line. So for me and Kennard, it's kind of strange, but it's like, you know, we have always had the same, like, ultimate goal. How we were going to get there, we had no idea. Even when we were dating, we always wanted to have, like, some type of community building or center for young kids. And we always wanted to help kids in the community in some sort of way. That's Kennard's passion, and it's mine as well. So how we're getting there is kind of like God is unveiling it little by little. But it's like, you know, the path that we're on, we will ultimately, you know, get to that goal of helping our community, which I think is part of our purpose. And I also think that, you know, just us being together every day, living together, you know, we kind of sharpen each other. So, you know, when there's a fault with me, Kennard is honest with me. You know, he'll tell me how it is, and vice versa. If I see something with Kennard, I'm like, you know, and we both say it in a loving way. We're like, you know, hey, this is something that I noticed. Maybe you can do it better this way. So I think all of that kind of creates a path towards your purpose. It helps you to become, you know, I'm not gonna say perfect, but it helps you to become more like Christ. Your spouse is supposed to help you get to your purpose, and not just helping you with, you know, small minor things, but really helping you, like, by being honest, just by communicating, and, you know, just being a better person. You know, that's, I just really believe your spouse is to help you be a better person, which will ultimately lead to a purpose, to your purpose.
Amen. That is absolutely awesome. Great response. And I also believe that not only individuals have purpose, but also couples and families have purpose. But based on your example, sounds like you two had the same purpose and you come together, which I think is a great model for couples and for families to have at least one goal aligned that you two can work together.
Yeah.
When going back to the term help me, it means to be able to work together. And so I think at some point couples should be able to work together and build on something, whether it's a cleaning business, a restaurant, a mental health facility, whatever it may be, a community center. And so that is awesome and inspirational. And I just believe that as you two work together, God is going to honor your work. Do you have anything you want to add, Mrs. McGraw? Amen. Amen. Mm. Last but not least, I wouldn't be me. Oh, well, I have two more questions, actually. You touched on this a little bit, but I want to ask, how does being a helpmeet affect parenting?
So how does it affect parenting? And so I would say it all depends on, you know, the situation. Parenting, it's not something that you know, but it's something that grows on you. Once you have kids, you know, it's something that you have to do. And so a lot of times what helps it work out for us if we're in each other's presence together and we, it's a point where we have to discipline the kids, you know, sometimes myself has worked accordingly on, you know, well, what did you suggest? Because what I did before didn't work, you know, or what you know, she comes to me and let me know, like, hey, maybe try this way. So parenting, you know, and it's different when you're out. I tell her all the time, you know, me, I'm a little bit more of the enforcer, you know, so it's a little bit different. She's more, a little bit more laid back than I am. And so when we're together, I get in daddy mode as well as like I'm out with just the kids with myself. And so she has to stop me and say, well, you know, don't be so loud with them, you know.
Tone of voice
is everything. You know, so while we're here, you know, we're home and we're parenting together, I find myself getting better at that. But when we out in public, you know, daddy don't play that. So but it's an ongoing battle, and it's a good battle, you know, working on that. But I think parenting is never to us it's like it's never a right way to do it. And also I would share this, with having multiple kids, you have to be a parent differently to each child because they're not the same. And so we're learning that now as the kids get older. It's like, you know, my approach to Corey may be different than it is to Kayla. You know, and Caleb still's he's a baby. So with the girls, you know, it's different. And so we're working on that and trying to figure out what works better for each child.
I'm gonna just jump out because I already know what my wife is about to say. Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead. No, what I was gonna say is for the listeners, we didn't actually let the people know how old their kids are.
Oh yeah, just yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So to give context and background.
That's yeah.
See. So they have three. The oldest is Kayla, and Kayla is five. Just turned five. Yeah. And then there's Corey. And how old is Corey? Three.
Corey is two.
He's two. Okay. And then there is Caleb, who is not even one yet. Is he? How old is he?
Nope. He's 8 months.
Okay.
Almost 9 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that gives the listeners a little bit of context. But what did you think I was going to say?
No. First of all, kudos to the Curtis family. Having small children that close together, I'm sure anybody listening knows that's no easy task, but they've been doing it well. And so kudos to them. And if you ever want some prayer or some advice on how to manage and navigate, because it can be stressful, but how to manage and navigate, we the McLaughlins, we'd be open to talk with you, and the Curtises, I'm sure they'd be open to give you some encouragement. Absolutely. It can be done. Believe it or not, it can be done. And so just keep on loving on God, yourself, and the babies. And I say yourself because as much as we talk about supporting spouses, I do also believe you have to have self-care as well. You're no good to your family if you're always exhausted and just simply burned out. And so make sure that you love on yourself as well, not to the point where you neglect your family, but that you also are refreshed, revived, and giving God your best and giving your family your best.
Absolutely.
But to my wife's question, so I thought she was going to put it out there. In our dynamic, she's the enforcer. I'm usually the nice guy. Now, when daddy cracks the whip, they go running, but most of the time, mommy is the enforcer. So, believe it or not, as sweet
funny.
As she is.
That's so funny because it's the same way with me. I'm laid back, but when I'm serious, they know I'm serious, so they go running.
Yeah. 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 Amen. Well, my last question, you all have been a joy. I've enjoyed this. I hope you all have enjoyed this conversation.
Yes, sir. Always.
Wouldn't be me without also talking about the importance of spirituality. With businesses with three kids, I know it can be a challenge to be intentional about making sure you are spiritually feeding yourself or you're being spiritually fed. How do you two navigate your spiritual walk as a couple, as a family? How do you make sure that you are spending enough time with God as a couple and hearing God, not just for yourself, but also for your family?
Well, I'll go first. So I had to stop being so hard on myself. And I want to say, this was probably your mom, Reverend Jay, our first lady, who told me this. She said, you know, let me tell you the context behind it. I was telling her I felt like, you know, being a parent and an entrepreneur and all this other stuff, a wife, that, you know, it was really hard for me to balance being able to read at night or read in the morning. You know, it's just hard because, you know, with them getting in the bed late and then, you know, us having to, you know, just do chores around the house after they go to sleep. It's like, you know, once you hit that bed, you want to go to sleep. So I will always remember, she said, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. If you're able to read a verse, you know, in the morning, wake up and say, good morning, Lord. Say a prayer, you know, throughout the day. You know, that can be enough for that day, you know. And then, of course, still get your studying and stuff in. But it doesn't have to be an everyday thing, like you're so hard on yourself that you are not, you know, that you just feel bad about it all the time. And that was me. I felt bad about it all the time because I'm like, you know, Lord, I'm so tired. But I would take my Bible out and read for 2 minutes, and then I'm asleep with the Bible, you know, in my lap. So I wasn't, you know, it just wasn't productive. So I now, I make sure in the morning I wake up, you know, the first thing I do when I grab my phone, I don't go to social media. I go to the Bible app. I read, you know, the verse that's on there. They actually have like a little, it's kind of like, it looks like kind of like Instagram, but you can like click through the pages and you can listen to a pastor, a recording. Yeah, a pastor that will talk for like 2 minutes on the verse, and then it will go through and have a devotional for the verse, and like that's perfect for me. So I go through and do that just about every morning, and then you know, I'll say a prayer, and throughout the day I'm always praying, and then at night I'll try to do something as well. But if I fall asleep, like, you know, I don't feel bad anymore. I'm like, you know, I've got my time in with the Lord. He knows my heart. And, you know, I know there is a greater purpose for myself. And I'm going to speak for my husband, too. I know it's a greater purpose for my husband as well, to bring, you know, more people to Christ. And no, I'm not talking about a pulpit. I'm just talking about just evangelism and, you know, just doing what we do and talking more about Christ and bringing them to, you know, the belief of believing in God and believing in Jesus Christ. But, you know, right now, I know that our purpose right now is being these kids, mother and father, and, you know, building this business and, you know, doing the things that we're doing now. So I don't feel bad anymore. But I can say that, you know, together, the one thing that we do have to work on is just being praying together. I know that's one thing. That was one of our goals for 2021. And which we do it as a family, but we don't do it as a couple as much as we should. We definitely do it as a family pretty much every day before we leave the house. But just not as a couple, you know, praying on, you know, other things. And also, you know, reading the word together too. So I think that that's something that we have to work on, and it's, you know, it's just really hard to balance all of it. But I would say to couples out there, you know, try not to be so hard on yourself individually. Definitely get that time in, but also try to get that time in with your spouse. And I think if you push, you know, one another to spend time with Christ, turn off the TV, turn off the phone, then it will get done. And you can balance it a lot better.
I'm gonna just elaborate quickly a little bit more. And so on the individual side, you know, it's hard, like my wife was saying, with the kids and, you know, the morning, the evening. So for me, the time where I spend with Christ the most is in my car, when I'm by myself, like after I drop the kids off, there's no music playing. That way I can communicate and refresh and recharge. And then also as a couple, like she was saying, and this goes back to our testimony, and I'll share that quickly after this, but it goes back to not forgetting, but the fact that, you know, you have kids, so, you know, you put things on the back burner. And not saying that we put Christ on the back burner, but before we had kids, we were praying consistently together. We were doing things with just us, you know, and so the kids came into our lives and changed it for the better. But you got to remember how you got here, you know, together because of us, because of God. And so we had just redid our vows for our anniversary, which was June 6th. And we did them when we were out of town in Puerto Rico, which was huge for us. We've been married for 6 years. And like everyone told us, the first few years of marriage would be rough. Did we see that? We had our ups, we had our downs. But it was important for us. It was definitely more meaningful. And I think since we, you know, did our vows, we kind of took marriage a little bit more seriously. Because once we started having the kids, it was more so about the kids. The focus just wasn't on us anymore, you know? And so we had to rekindle that, like to get back that fire lit on, you know, us. And that's what we did when we did our vows over June 6th, which was important for us. It was just us. It wasn't no bridesmaids, no groomsmen. It was just me and Courtney, the pastor, and Mother Nature, the beautiful ocean, you know. And it just, we wrote our own vows. When we got married the first time, they were pre-written, you know. So it was just different, you know. And God has always been at the head of our relationship. But it was just something different, and we needed that. We just felt like the fire was still lit, but it was slowly, you know, burning out. And so
what?
I mean, not burning out, not burning out. You know, I need that flame, like when you first light that grill up, Rev, you know,
you put that fluid on it,
you know, that grill gonna blaze, you know. It was doing that when we first started. And after that grill get going for about 20 minutes, them coals turn gray a little bit. You know, so yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it was still hot. You just, that's right. The flame wasn't coming through the grill.
That was a good analogy. Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what? In all seriousness, Kennard, every married couple, and even if you're not married, even if you've been courting or dating for several years, you go through those seasons. And in every couple, especially couples that have kids, can identify and know exactly what you're talking about, because the kids, because they are so young, because they're so small, because they are so dependent, they become the priority. And any good parent, you know, that's the operative word, good. Any good parent is going to put their children and their children's needs ahead of their own. And in doing so, you are your marriage can be neglected. And so so you do sometimes have to do different things to be intentional, because if you don't take the time, make the time and be intentional, next thing you know, you're going to wake up and it's going to be like, you know, we don't know each other, you know, as far as the couples. And that's what happens oftentimes to empty nesters. Once the kids leave the house, then they get a divorce. And it's like, because they grew apart, they didn't know who they were anymore outside of the kids. And so, and the word even talks about the single woman. A single woman is concerned about the things of the Lord, but once she becomes a wife and a mother, then the husband and the kids take priority as far as her thoughts and as far as her time and her commitments. So so that's totally, you know, people totally can identify with that, I'm sure. I do have a question that's a little bit off script, but only I only ask about it because for me, this is something that's very heavy and very important. And you both mentioned it several times, and that's the word balance. So in the world that we live in, that is just so full of we're constantly barraged with all kinds of, you know, things as far as interests and, you know, we live in a microwave society and we're constantly, you know, just having all kinds of things coming at us, constantly wanting to take our time. And so the word balance, when we think about balance, work-life balance, work-home balance, you know, family work balance, all whatever the different variations are, what do you all think is the key to maintaining balance?
You would say what?
I would say, you know, it's, I would say praying that for the strength to have balance. You know, because it's all, like you said, it's always so much going on. It's And it's I guess it's okay to say no. Just keep in mind that you don't have to do everything that's expected. Because the more you have, the less balance you will have. So I tell Courtney all the time, you know, you don't have to say yes to everything. That will help eliminate that, you know, and that gives you that way to have balance.
Say that again. What'd you say? You don't have to say yes to everything.
You don't have to say yes to everything. And that allows you to have balance for the things that you have going on. Because the more you take on, you know, the less balance you have, you know. So yeah, absolutely. I see.
And I think like practical ways too of having balance, of course, is just a schedule. Like schedules are so important. To-do lists are so important, you know. Make sure you're scratching them off. You know, like just those type of things, like you just have to make sure that you're just not doing stuff. Like in the word that Phaedra used was intentional. You just got to be intentional about everything you're doing. And the thing that I've learned since I have gotten, I think probably the second child, after the second child, I started thinking in my head, I'm like, how in the world can I balance all of this? Cleaning, cooking, making sure everybody's clothes are cleaned and, you know, everybody has doctor's appointments and dentist appointments. Like, how do you balance it all? Make sure that you outsource some stuff, you know? So I have learned we had a cleaning lady come today, actually. She just left, you know, like an hour ago. So, you know, stuff like that. I mean, if you can put it into your budget and, you know, with, you know, forego some other things, then it'll help you with balance. It'll help you with balance. It'll give you a peace of mind. Now, granted, I still got to put some clothes away. She ain't do that, but, you know, she cleaned it. Like she cleaned the bathroom and she, you know, she vacuumed it. So, like, stuff like that, like, outsource as much as you can. I just had to have a talk with my husband the other day because he felt like he could, you know, mow the front yard, the backyard, the median in front of our house, and mow the front yard and the backyard in our group home. And I'm like, you cannot do it all. You just cannot do it. It's impossible.
But I was doing it.
Okay, but the grass looked crazy. So, I mean, you were doing it, but you were doing it like once a month for each house. So it's like, you know, if we can outsource those things, and we, so he listened to me on that, and he, you know, we actually got somebody who's coming, you know, every 2 weeks now and doing the backyard, the front yard, and the median. So it's things like that, like just balance, like, and I had to learn that because I'm cheap. So I really had to learn, like, you know, outsourcing this could really help us, you know, in the long run.
Amen. Amen. Great wisdom, great nuggets. Intentionality is so important. When I hear people say marriage is work, that's one of the first things that comes to mind. Not that it's so stressful or so hard and difficult, but you want to be intentional about loving on your spouse. You want to make sure you carve out time. One of the things when I counsel couples, I encourage them to sync a Google calendar or sync whatever calendars they have and color code things. Like, and if all of your colors are focused on the kids and your personal stuff, but you don't have any days or anything with your spouse, you're messing up, and that's not balanced. And so just make sure you're being intentional about loving on your spouse, loving on yourself, loving on your kids. And also, prayer is so important. I thank you, Brother Kennard, for mentioning that, because God will give you the wisdom and the peace on how to navigate things. There are a lot of things that we're doing as couples, and I'm saying both of us, there are a lot of things that we're doing. We probably thought 5-10 years ago, there's no way I'd be doing that. But that's God gives you the strength. And so shout out to God for giving us the strength and helping us to do this. And we don't claim to be perfect, but we serve an amazing God that helps us.
Yeah.
So I certainly thank God for that. This has been a joy. Did you all have any closing remarks before we end this episode?
No, just thanks for having us. We always enjoy being on your podcast.
You know, it's my first time.
Oh, yeah, Kennard's first time. But yeah, it's always a good time.
We'll have you all back maybe football season. Go, Pack, go.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, to all of our listeners, this is the Mac Attack Show. We thank you for tuning in with Kennard and Courtney Curtis and my lovely wife, Phage McLaughlin. We love you all. Have a great day. God bless.
Yes, sir. Peace.